It does smell more like, yeah.
Yeah, like barbecue meat.
I would say it smells closer to like a, maybe like a grilled turkey than a grilled hamburger. Mm-hmm. But it still has, you know, the coloration, the texture, it's pretty dense. So I mean, it feels substantial. And the texture, when you cut it open, it looks like it looks like hamburger, man. It's a little creepy, to be honest. I'm going for it. You like the saying, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. I think that's probably a lot of, like, meat eaters' mindset when they see this. You took a big bite.
I am.
You took a real big bite.
Probably too big.
You took, like, a sixth of the burger.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We have a episode that's got a lot of meat to it. A meaty episode. It's a lot to digest in this episode.
There's going to be a lot of puns. Uh-huh. I'm just going to warn you right now.
Yeah, so pretty excited about this because I've been wanting to do this for a while, and obviously I've been seeing these more and more in the grocery store. We are going to break down a lot of the kind of information and I don't know if controversy is the right word, but just kind of present both sides of the fence of the information regarding to plant-based burgers. We're going to go with the Beyond Meat, Beyond Burger. Not only are we going to present some information about its benefits or if it's beneficial for your health or for the environment, we're also going to taste test some Beyond Meat, Beyond Burgers today on this episode.
Yeah, and the Beyond Burger is similar to the Impossible Burger.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about that as well, but we do not have an Impossible Burger with us today, so we're just going to be trying the Beyond Meat, the Beyond Burger.
Mm-hmm.
You can get this at your local grocery stores.
Yep. We got a couple I've seen it at Target. We got it at Sprouts. So, yeah. Before we jump into that, we want to tell you something that will definitely benefit your health. There's no debate about it. And that's entering the current ATF giveaway. That is going to benefit your health. Cope Notes is sponsoring this ATF giveaway. And if you aren't familiar with Cope Notes, you should go back and listen to episode 153 with our interview with the creator of Cope Notes. It is a mental wellness text messaging service. So what you guys can do is go to atfgiveaway.copenotes.com and enter to win a month of Cope Notes. You actually, when you enter, you get a free week.
Yeah.
So you actually get a week for free, and then you're entered for a chance to win a free month.
So you get something right off the bat, and then you have a chance at getting something even bigger.
Mm-hmm. I told three people about it and shared the link with them this week, so I'm thinking we're getting more and more people are interested in the idea and the concept of it. So
yeah, the people I've talked to, obviously I have a new job, so I have new coworkers, new employer and everything. So I've been telling them a little bit because I'm actually now working more within health, which is one of the reasons I was really excited about my new job. And I work with different health industry clients now. And we were talking about some different kind of trends in the industry. And I talked about Cope Notes and I said, I think this is going to be this is going to be something we're going to see more of. Like I know I've been a really big proponent of digital wellness and how, you know, social media and your phones and things like that, yes, they're clearly causing people stress and anxiety, but there's good that they can do too.
Mm-hmm.
So Absolutely. This is one of those things that this is a great app to check out. And it doesn't cost you anything, so why not just go in and get a little extra uplift in your next week and get the possible opportunity to have a whole month for free.
Absolutely. So atfgiveaway.copenotes.com. That's the website. Go ahead and enter there. Get your free week and enter for a chance to win a free month. So, training recaps. You go, I go. You go, I go.
I'll go.
All right, go for it.
So this week, I tried to think a little bit outside the box. I am trying to find my new routine. Mm-hmm. If you listened to our last podcast, you heard us kind of doing some very honest reflections, some self-reflections, and looking at our health and fitness goals for the year. And I admitted the fact that I've let the fitness and everything just, it's not been enough of a priority to really push into my life, and I wanted to get some consistency. And with my new work from home schedule, I now have the ability to play a little bit with kind of my schedule during the day. Mm-hmm. And I had some kind of open time periods this week, so I actually did a couple workouts during the day, which I don't typically do during the week. So that was nice to be mm-hmm. able to get that in. So I kind of hit my, I wanted to start with just getting in like 3 a week. And I did that. I got a couple spin and then like a HIIT workout in. So that felt really, really good.
Nice.
To do that. And I still haven't found the exact kind of rhythm that I feel like is something I could build, but I'm getting there and I'm experimenting, and I think that's the key in the beginning to like trying to establish a new routine or a new habit. I think you have to have a period of time where you're just there for the experimentation mm-hmm. and you're just kind of trying to see which things fit yeah. well with your life.
Yeah, you're also getting out. I think last two Mondays we've gotten out with Jazz and gotten her down on the boardwalk, the river walk.
Monday and Wednesday.
The dog yeah. park and stuff. So, yeah, that's important for her and for you, too.
I think. Yeah,
so I that's mean, another part of your fitness
right nice there. It's nice getting in a little walk and talking with people at the dog park. And let's be honest, even in the middle of summer, Florida's kind of a beautiful place in the morning especially. So.
Oh, don't I know it. That's going to lead right into my training recap, because this week I made it kind of a goal to get out and do some outdoor workouts, specifically yeah. with the steel mace. So I wanted
some of those on yeah. Instagram.
Once again, I had a little bit of it was a little busier this week, but still had some morning availability this week. So I went out and took it to the street. I call it catch me outside. So I was doing some outdoor workouts with the steel mace. A lot of the flows are very, I guess, like, interesting to watch, almost very dance-like. So, but there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, basic exercise you guys be familiar with, squats,
lunges.
Were
people stopping and asking you what you were doing?
Yeah, I do. I had a video I'll be posting next week, you guys. Check out ET Tampa to see the video of me starting to flow in Curtis Hickson Park and then some guy walking behind me. And you guys, I got it on video, so I see the guy on video watching me, and then he stops me. He's like, "What's that?" And then like I told him about it and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I actually have that part on video, so I thought it was kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
To show people the mace. So, and it's always this is kind of more personal, but it's very surreal. The last place I just mentioned, Curtis Hickson Park, the way I shot it is basically University of Tampa, where both you and I went,
yeah.
is in the background. So, like, I'm doing this whole kind of very involved mace flow and stuff like that in front of, you know, some place. We're at the place where you and I met, so
yeah.
it was kind of surreal. And I know we talk about that, especially Ella's school is a mile down the street from where you and I first met. So, it's just,
crazy,
you know, that's a little bit away from the fitness, but it's very interesting. But I love the steel mace. I'm getting more and more interested in learning, you know, just how to incorporate that into workouts and get more people interested in it, you know, just
yeah.
outside my client. So that's what I'm trying to do with all these outdoor workouts around the town. So
yeah.
I want to keep doing it, keep going around town and places, especially specifically Tampa.
Am I going to see you on one of those little bird scooters, like zipping around?
I don't know if I
could.
Maybe. I'm still a little interested about, you know, what people think about when they watch me walk around with this thing. So
they probably think like, this dude's about to beat someone's
Yeah, I'm just
butt.
Hoping I don't get, you know, I can explain myself when somebody asks me, of authority asks me what the hell I'm doing.
One of the bike cops pulls you over.
It's like, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly. Why are you carrying a weapon around?
Exactly. So, but yeah, that was my training recap for the week. So let's get into the main topic of discussion, the Beyond Meat Beyond Burger. So I'm sure you guys have been seeing these in the grocery store.
Well, heck, even restaurants, the Impossible Burgers, like the one that think has been the biggest in restaurants, and it's captured the kind of selling point on this is that it looks and tastes like
real
the
beef.
Same as real beef, so that their challenge has actually been to meat eaters.
Right.
So, like, this really isn't what I would call a vegan food. This is really a meat eater food who is just maybe looking to try some plant-based.
Yeah.
And it is, it's really meant to satisfy that meat hunger.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's saying they talk about, we found this great article on MindBodyGreen, one of our favorite websites, talking, basically breaking down all the different type of aspects of the Beyond Meat Burger and the Impossible Burger to see if they are a healthier option than ground beef, both for humans and for the environment. So they talk about it in this article about how I think the Beyond Meat Burger went public this year.
Yeah.
And by May, what does it say, May of this year?
It went public in May, and by, I think, June or July.
Let's find it real quick. There it is right there.
July 10th.
Yes.
It was the company, a market capitalization of over $10 billion.
Yeah, so people were definitely flocking to this. And I think, as Shannon mentioned, probably might be... especially, actually, Beyond me, I don't know. The Impossible Burger is the one that's going to Burger King picked up to start making the Impossible Whopper.
I don't know, and Beyond Meat, did you hear about the tactic they were doing for that?
No.
So they were actually, I think it actually is in one city, maybe Chicago or something. But they were basically telling their customers, if you order a burger, if you order a Whopper, you have a 50-50 chance of getting the Impossible Burger. So these people going in, like meat eaters going in to get their classic Whopper, they were so confident that even they would be satisfied with their version of the Impossible Burger that they were just saying to, like, you know, you're taking a chance on this.
That's really interesting. I don't know if I'd agree to buy that burger if that was the kind of the deal. You know, I'd tell them maybe go pack sand. Or how about you give me a Whopper and maybe I wouldn't be that mean, but...
Yeah, I mean...
I get what it's a good marketing ploy. I get
it's
it.
It's a complete, like, yeah, it's just a stunt. It's a PR stunt. It's just to, like, make people stop and take notice and have people react. It's all they're trying to do.
I bet you if they took a dollar off the price, people would go for it.
I guess. Oh, yeah.
If you go for this, you know, it'd be interesting.
But it's still, like... I don't think it's fair to, like, play with, like, I want this one thing, but I might get something else.
Right.
Like, with food, that's kind of a serious thing.
Yeah, exactly. So let's divert from that. Let's talk about, we're going to go over the ingredients and everything right before we do the taste test and all the macros. But we want to go over the kind of the main, basically their mission for especially the Beyond Meat and the other plant-based burgers. Their mission, to summarize, is, you know, to take some of the onus away from animal-based products, and with the hope that it will hopefully improve people's health and improve the health of the environment.
Yeah, so it's not just for human health, it's environmental as well.
And these companies, their claim, and there's some, I believe, some partial truth to it, not all truth, that it can help the environment and it can be healthier for certain individuals. But I think, and I think we should go into the ingredients, you know, not just wait till the taste test, because I think... With these products specifically, they do contain a lot of processed ingredients. Specifically, the one we're dealing with, the Beyond Meat Beyond Burger, it has, you know, pea protein and canola oil. So those two specifically.
It's the top two.
Yeah, the four main ingredients, which is the most, is water. Yeah. You know, the pea protein, canola oil, and coconut oil. So the canola oil is kind of the main thing, especially reading through this article, and this, some just from the general knowledge I know, is a vegetable oil that's high in omega-6, which there's some research that says can contribute to things like metabolic disorders or mm-hmm. cardiovascular disease when the ratio of omega-6 is higher than omega-3s.
Yeah.
So that's the one ingredient specific to the Beyond Burger that is really people, you know, I guess not, I guess kind of opponents or people that are, you know, not, or people they're recommending, you know, to use caution when thinking this is a healthier option than beef burgers.
Yeah. And I mean, the Impossible Burger faces kind of a similar battle because mm-hmm. it uses soy
mm-hmm.
and it's like, it's a protein that I think for, like, it went through a huge flux of popularity, but then there's been some negativity about mm-hmm. the possible health
right.
issues that can yeah. come from too much of a consumption of it.
Right.
So, I mean, like, the Impossible Burgers, again, these aren't for vegans.
Right.
So I think that probably your average meat eater isn't eating a whole lot of soy.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be as much of a,
it's,
who knows?
Yeah, but it's super interesting, and we're going to get in, I don't want to get too much in down this road because we want to stay on topic, but it's like soy and corn are one of the biggest ingredients to, from what I know, and I could be wrong, I haven't done, you know, this is just probably maybe old research, but for feed for cattle.
Yeah.
So in kind of theory, you are consuming soy. Yeah. You know, you're probably not getting some of the, it's some type of estrogen booster yeah. or something, but it's major quality quantity. So let's not go down that path. I will say about the Beyond Burger is that it is certified vegan, soy-free, and gluten-free. And it participates in a non-GMO project with, once again, that's a road we're not going to go down. But I think it does, as far as between the Impossible Burger and the Beyond Burger, I think the Beyond Burger has a little bit more better ingredient list than the Impossible Burger, but we're not going to go too far into details about that. So, as we mentioned, it's somewhat up for debate with you know, the Beyond Burger claims about the, you know, meats and beef can, you know, increase heart disease and cardiovascular disease.
Yeah.
And those studies are very, very, a lot of them are epidemiological, which we've talked about before on the podcast. And also, they lumped everything together. So they don't separate, like, processed meat, which does not include, like, grass-fed beef you can get at the grocery store from, you know, sausage or things like that. So,
yeah. The stuff you might normally get at McDonald's right, or Burger
exactly.
King.
Exactly, yes, yes. So that's the thing. I think a lot of the times when plant-based or vegan products are trying to say that they're healthier, they're really comparing a lot to the fast food version of beef.
Yes, yeah, which, it's like the frozen food section in your grocery store.
Which,
and like
you said, that might be the majority of what Americans are eating. You know,
it is.
And if you look through this article, and they did a really good job in this article of getting both sides, a lot of the people, even the people that say they talked to one doctor or might have been a nutritionist or dietitian that was talking who, you know, promotes plant-based eating and living an eco-friendly lifestyle. Her name is Abby Cannon, a registered dietitian, and she said she was concerned about some of the ingredients in the Beyond Burger. Because she said, let me see what she says. She said they're not remotely healthy and that she's not a fan. So it's, even though she's a plant-based, she recommends plant-based eating, she just sees these kind of ingredient lists and it's like, it's probably not, if you had to choose between a grass-fed burger and this,
well,
you might want to go that. But the thing
yeah.
is, that's not always the easiest option for a lot of people.
And that's, I think that's what it comes down
right.
to. Like if we're in, something they say pretty early on in this article, and it is extensive. Like, it's one of the more detailed articles we found, which even though we always quote MindBodyGreen, it's for a good reason. They're
yeah.
actually a fantastic source. They do a lot of good research,
mm-hmm.
and they put a lot of information in. This one, it covered a lot of bases, and sort of they say it in probably about a quarter of the way through the article, and then they kind of reiterate it later on. These are very processed foods. Mm-hmm. One way or another, they're very processed. So are these better than the general, like, you know, if you're using the example we used earlier, like the Whopper with the meat versus the Whopper with the Impossible Burger? It's going to come down a lot to the individual. And it's going to come down a lot to where they are with their diet in general. Mm-hmm. Because the people that this is going to do no good are those people eating super clean, super whole diets. You know, if you're on, what is it, the Whole 30?
Yep.
This is not an item for you. If you're eating keto, this is not an item. Paleo, forget it. Like, if you have a, if you are an individual, though, who has, you know, maybe a really sensitive stomach, or you have, you know, gluten issues, whatever it might be, and you don't choose to eat whole foods in general, and you're just looking to cut back on your red meat intake, then this is a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But and it might make it easier to transition. But if you have a very clean diet, then this is still going to kind of be your version of, like, junk food, I think.
Right.
Because it's processed.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's we're big proponents of kind of like eating food at its wholest form, and it's in specifically when you have processed ingredients in there that are can contribute to things like cardiovascular disease, even though they say they're basically making this product to combat things that cause cardiovascular disease. It's not, I don't want to say go to dishonest, but I just think it's not giving people the whole picture. But
right.
I mean, I don't think that's what food producers' jobs are. You know?
No.
So you have to be educated as a consumer to know about that. And that's why I like this article, because they keep going back. They said, if you have the ability to eat grass-fed, get grass-finished burgers, that's where you should go. You still should limit
still
that
consumption.
Still going
to be healthier.
Yes, still limit that consumption
general.
Once or twice a week, which I can't imagine eating. Well, I shouldn't say that because we eat leftovers, so I probably do eat the grass-finished beef twice a week. But, you know, like having it twice a week. So I think we should go, like, it healthier-wise, it both all the topics within this, kind of the arguments within this, you can always, they're two different sides. There is no clear winner yet.
There needs to be context, because
right.
for you to say that something's healthier, you have to have a basis of comparison.
Right.
So you have to know what you're measuring it against.
Yeah.
And for everybody, your version of what's healthier for
right.
you is very different from what's healthier for me.
Yeah.
Like, we've already found, I do not do well with lots of meat.
Right.
I do not do well with lots of dairy. That's just not how I am. Like,
right.
we've tried to eat the same exact foods, and it just doesn't work. So, I mean, I think that is something that always has to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just talking about, well, here's the whole story, how might this fit into a person's diet? Then, yeah, you start with what you know about the person, and, like, everybody's going to have to kind of come at it from their own perspective.
Right. And that's a good just a way to kind of approach it. And I think we should also kind of dive into the environmental impact of this burger, too, to see if it's better than, you know, conventionally raised beef. And I think, as you guys can imagine, like the big kind of feedlots and factory farm beef, this probably a better option. You know, the Beyond Meat company, Beyond Meat company, they commissioned a life cycle assessment study with the Center of Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan, and found that Beyond Burger generates 90% less greenhouse gas emissions, requires 46% less energy, and has 99% less impact on water scarcity and 93% less
impact
on land use than a quarter pound of conventionally raised U.S. beef. So I think that's really And the Impossible Burger was also very close in those same numbers for the same study. So I don't disagree with that whatsoever.
You know,
it's compelling, and it seems very logical to me.
Yeah.
The only thing that you have to worry about is when you're talking about the ingredients that are in this pea protein, canola oil, you're going to need, if this becomes replaces conventional beef, this is essentially going to turn into a monoculture. You're going to have to start producing large amounts of these type of ingredients in order to make these products. Now, I don't know. They don't go too much into detail about how much type of land you need to create these ingredients. At least I don't think so. I didn't see that. Oh, and I'm sure it is. Like, I mean, they just went through that thing.
It's 96% less land.
Mm-hmm. But then you're talking about, you know, producing at the same quantity that you're making conventional beef. Pound for pound. Right. That's true.
It's this, like, in terms mm-hmm. of feeding people, it's going to feed people less of an impact on the environment. That's a fact. But yes, I mean, like, in the long term, I mean, the reason that beef is like beef and like the cattle industry and everything is one of the biggest contributor to greenhouse gases is because it's such a huge like market, like money market. I mean, there's so many industries and so many people that use this. And the biggest takeaway that I would caution anybody when they think, oh, the Beyond Burger is the solution for all the burgers. There is no one solution. Like, we were made to eat a variety of things. Mm-hmm. The planet is made to sustain and produce a number of things. We can't put all our eggs in one basket, or else guess what? That basket's not going to be able to handle it one day, no matter what kind of eggs you put in it, whether it's mm-hmm. concrete or, you know, paper. Mm-hmm. It's one day, it's just going to be too much. So you have to think about that. And in the short term, though, if there can be some positive impact with people cutting back and giving maybe just easing back a bit more on that, you know, super huge production of meat.
I think, yeah, the factory mass farm production thing, that needs to be, that's the real
plus enemy. They don't use all of the animal. Like, it's some of the most inefficient mm-hmm. farming out there because they throw so much away.
Right. And I've said this before on the podcast, and it's that paleos and vegans are not that far separated.
No.
You know, because, you know, both of them believe, I think, you know, in more a plant-based diet, but obviously paleos do incorporate meat. But I wouldn't say all paleos, but, like, the idea of getting away from factory farm, I think, is very huge in paleo and primal diets and vegan, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that's a common thread.
I would put a little caveat, though. I think there has been a lot of people out there who have done the vegan thing and could give two craps about how whole their food is.
That's true. Yeah, you're
and
right.
And they
right.
eat the super high processed.
Right.
They, like, you know, and they're no healthier than any meat eater.
Yeah.
And they walk around their, you know, their high horse and say, well, I'm saving the planet.
Right.
Because I'm not eating cows.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, that's the stuff that's you kind of have to scratch your head a little bit at. But I think the people, the intention behind those two kind of very polar opposites, there is a common thread that links them. They're not probably going to be able to sit and completely agree on everything, but they're going to, if you get like some of them together.
Yeah.
They might have more similar goals than you'd think.
Yeah, and I think the last point I want to, like, at least for this article, I want to kind of talk about is that the same LCA study, the life cycle assessment study, the same institute did one for White Oak Pastures Farm, which we bought grass-fed beef. grass-fed beef from.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a, you know, very regenerative agriculture farm. They do a lot of, you know, basically rotating animals, rotating crops. There's a really good, great art documentary. I think it's Food Inc. There's a guy named Joel Salatin on there who runs a farm out of Virginia, and they do some really cool thing. They have these movable kitchen, not kitchen, geez, kitchen, chicken coops. So they actually are on wheels, so they move around, so they get to eat new grass every 2 or 3 days. They have the same thing. They raise all their hogs in the woods and stuff, so they can eat acorns. It's really kind of innovative farming techniques. Well, not innovative. It's probably more primitive than anything, you know. It's more innovative in the fact that it's getting away from the factory farm type of methods. And they found through this LCA study there that they are actually, this type of farm is a carbon sink.
Yeah.
So they're actually reducing the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere than producing.
They're absorbing more carbon than they release in the atmosphere.
Right, because they're reusing the type of, they're reusing the manure.
Yeah.
Any dead animals essentially become compost. They're using all parts of the animal, like Shannon mentioned earlier. So the only issue with these is these are harder to sustain. You know, the profit margin from those are much lower because they go through all these type of practices, so it's more expensive. But these type of farms, I think, are becoming more and more popular as things like grass-fed beef or pasture-raised eggs and, pasture-raised pork is becoming more popular nowadays.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good sign, and I think that's an important kind of thing to highlight is that it kind of shows the through line. You know, Beyond Meat's goal is to make people healthier, make the environment healthier, but I think you can still eat meat or buy meat products and have the same goals.
Yeah, I like the, there's one line in here that they highlight to your point is that they say, like, you know, Impossible Foods' goal is actually ending all animal agriculture. And he says that's actually extremely problematic, and it fails to recognize that there is an ecosystem function of animals like cows. You know, it's let's go to a recent movie release. It's The Circle of Life.
Oh,
I'm not gonna sing the song, but
what movie?
Lion King.
Oh, okay.
Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
It's very timely. But yeah, there's more to think about in farming than just those mass production.
Yes.
Terrible, wasteful, inefficient.
Absolutely.
Sucks on everything. So. Yeah.
So if we can get away from that, I'm all for that. So
yeah.
Now, let's get into what you're here for. We're gonna taste test the Beyond Burger to see if it's worth.
Now that we've just broken everything down.
So we gave you the ingredients. Shannon is gonna give you the macros while I go get the meat.
Yes.
Or the meat, air quotes, museum.
So yes, the traditional patty from the Beyond Burger is about a 4 ounce patty. Or actually, probably exactly a 4 ounce. And usually, like their containers, we got it was in our frozen section. And there's two patties in the container. They serving per container is 2. So if you have one of these bad boys, you got about 270 calories. But the important thing to note is that there's 20 grams of fat, 5 grams of carbohydrate, 3 grams of fiber, and 20 grams of protein. So actually the fat and protein on these are like almost exactly even.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 1 percentage point off. So there's no sugars or trans fats or anything. There is some saturated fat. 5 grams of saturated fat, but and then there is some about 380 milligrams of sodium, but it's not like the macros aren't horrible,
right? See, well, and I know I looked it up. It's more protein than a quarter
than
pound
a burger.
Beef.
Yeah.
Now it's, plant protein is different. I don't know if we absorb that 100%. I'm pretty sure
you're
we
not
don't,
getting,
but I'd
like,
have to.
Your...
I know pea protein is one of the best plant proteins to absorb. I don't know what, but I doubt it's 100%. So I do want you to read the other ingredients. We listed the four main ingredients, but there is another. There is also a list, and we'll see if Shannon can get through all the names of these.
Thanks a lot. So, yeah, we talked about the water. We talked about the pea protein isolate, the canola oil, the refined coconut oil. And then it says it contains 2% or less of the following. Cellulose from bamboo, which is interesting. I'm not sure they use it as like a texture.
Mm-hmm.
Methyl cellulose, potato starch, natural flavor, maltodextrin, yeast extract, salt, sunflower oil, vegetable glycerin, dried yeast, gum arabic, citrus extract, ascorbic acid, beef juice extract. So that's for color.
Yep.
And these burgers do have a red color to them. Acetic acid, succinic acid, modified food starch, and annatto, which is from the Brazilian bixa plant.
Oh.
I learned that in my
fun fact
botanical garden job. And that's a very common orangey color.
Yeah.
So
additive
that is
to food additive.
It is natural. It is natural.
All right. So as Shannon said, these do, and they actually say it specifically on the box, you know, cook 3 minutes on each side. Do not overcook. The inside will have a red center, very much like meat. So as Shannon already said, this is for meat eaters. It's not for vegans. This is basically to add more plant-based protein to your diet.
So I'm just going to say, like, they look very good, like, as far as a beef.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have, they've browned, they're not dark, but they're browned on each side that you cooked it on, and then the center has stayed that same red color.
So when I open these up, and I'm just going to tell you now, we got it from Sprouts, and I checked online, it's about $6 for the package. So for half a pound for about $6. That's it's a quarter pound, so $6. When I opened it, there was a smell, and I didn't know, I was trying to place it. I was like, I know this smell. What is this smell? It wasn't beef. It wasn't the smell of beef. Because I don't know.
Well, that's good. Beef, raw beef does not smell appetizing to me.
And then finally I knew it. It smelled like refried beans.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
interesting. Probably because of the pea.
Yeah. And
it's
then, but now the smell definitely smells like a barbecued burger, I think.
It does smell more like,
yeah, like barbecued meat.
I would say it smells closer to like a, maybe like a grilled turkey than a grilled hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has, you know, the coloration, the texture, it's pretty dense. So I mean, it feels substantial, and the texture when you cut it open, it looks like hamburger, man. It's a little creepy,
right,
to be
I'm
honest.
Going for it.
You like the saying, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. I think that's probably a lot of like meat eaters' mindset when they see this. You took a big bite.
I am.
You took a real big bite.
Probably too big.
You took, like, a sixth of the burger.
It has initial taste, but then it fades fast. It has initial taste of beef, but then, like, it's totally fleeting. Like, it leaves, like, instantly. And, like, there's no, like, the savoriness of meat is not there.
Mm.
Like, it tried to, but it goes, it, like, evaporates, essentially.
So the thing about, like, a red meat, and I'm calling on my years as a vegan of trying almost, like, every vegan meat out there, the texture is very, very similar to hamburger.
Yeah.
And I think, like, when you've got toppings on this bad boy, you got cheese, like, you know, quote-unquote cheese, you can do regular cheese or dairy-free.
Mm-hmm.
You have sauces, other toppings. Like, I think this would actually seriously fool some meat eaters.
Yeah.
I think, like, Like, I would think my dad would be fooled by that.
Yeah, if you dress it up. I was thinking about that beforehand, too. You definitely couldn't tell the difference because it has the initial taste of beef. But if you're eating it straight like this, it doesn't have...
It does have that... it does have that faux meat taste. The initial flavor of, like, the grill meat...
True, that's true.
...is, like, that's what you get. It's like that seared outside of a hamburger, that flavor when you first bite into a hamburger and you're like, oh yeah, grilled. That usually stays with you when you eat a burger and it just gets like juicier and more intense. It does disappear. There's no depth to the flavor of this burger.
Oh, what a good word there. Depth.
Thank you.
How about you?
I could be a food critic.
Yeah. No, and honestly, I think if they sell this, wow. If they sold this as a ground beef, it could be formed into patties itself. I don't know if they do that yet, but if you put spices in this, Worcestershire sauce or something that has like a meaty...
It's like the faux burger that I make with the meat substitute.
Yeah,
it's like a sausage meat substitute.
Yeah.
Like, we put so many herbs and stuff in there. The texture is pretty similar to like a really cooked burger.
Okay.
But the
I'd
flavor,
say this texture is closer to
It is. This is definitely like
I would
challenge a lot of meat eaters. Like, you'd have to be a serious meat eater and eat this straight with nothing else to probably know the difference. But it doesn't have the flavor profile that a regular burger has. But I think it could be as satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, especially like we said, if you dress this up, you know, you get it all gussied up for a night on the town, you would not know that it is essentially a beanstalk. So I think it's actually, I would call that a win. I would say
for sure. They definitely hit their goal. And I think we talked about all the different kind of nuances about if it's healthier environmentally or physically, for the eater. But I think that's still up for debate.
The number of, like, Morningstar and, like, you know, all those really popular processed fake meat that you find in the grocery store. I would definitely say that this is a better option than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember looking at those ingredient lists and going, oh, maybe I shouldn't eat this, like, way back. So I think I would like to try that in a regular burger. I would be okay with getting that.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if they can get the price point down more because, I mean, $12 a pound is tough.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's more than grass-fed beef.
I mean, you can get good grass-fed beef for $5 or $6 a pound.
Yeah.
If you shop sales.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and
then there's more. Yeah, exactly. So.
And yeah, I think if you're looking, if you've got a real, especially, know what this might be really popular for, when you are a vegan or a vegetarian or something, and you have a lot of other people. Like, this was one of the pain points when I had more of a specialized diet. Dealing with other people's criticism and, like, their thought of your diet, it was like they were always like, oh, you know, I don't want to eat your food, and I'm not like that. I don't eat that bunny rabbit food. Give them this and shut them up because they can't really complain if you put some other stuff on here. This is going to probably make them back off a little. Mm-hmm. So. I think that's essentially the plan.
All right.
So, yeah.
Well, that was fun. I enjoy the taste test always, and then breaking it down from a nutritional and
environmental. I kind of wish we had gone, like, all out and really, like,
dressed them.
One of them.
Oh. Because
we cooked both of them.
Yeah.
It would be cool if we did that with the other one and then, you know, taking a bite of that
bad
boy.
Next time. All right. So if you guys have any other taste tests that we should try, we're always up for that. Yes. Or any topics in general that we should investigate on the podcast, let us know by leaving us a review in the Apple Podcast app or your preferred podcast app. We were always looking for suggestions from our listeners and, you know, leave that rating and review so we can help us reach a broader audience.
Yeah. So if you have like a, you know, is there a fitness trend blowing up in your neighborhood that you're curious about, bring it to us. I mean, I think you've tried a lot.
Yep.
As have I. Mm-hmm. So we're game, and we'll take the challenge. So just give us a shout.
Yep. And we always want you guys, we want to give back to our listeners. That's why we do these giveaways on a periodic basis. And now you guys can participate in our current one by going to atfgiveaway.copenotes.com. Get your free week of Cope Notes and enter for a chance to win a free month.
And when does that giveaway end?
Good question.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah. The giveaway will end on August 10th, Saturday, August 10th. You guys get your numbers in by then or enter the giveaway by then, and we'll announce the winner on a future episode.
So you've got just under 2 weeks if you're listening to this podcast on the day that it comes out. Plenty of time, folks. Plenty of time.
You got anything else for them?
That's it.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.